proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Good evening. I want to welcome you to Wonder Valley Church. I don't know whether you attend Valley Community Church or Wonder Lake Bible Church, some other church, or no particular church right now. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are part of one church, the community of the cross. Together, there are many fellowships, but there's only that one church, the body of Christ, and together we form the community of the cross. We are united with the Lord Jesus Christ by faith into his life, into his death, and into his resurrection. And the Holy Spirit has brought all of us together into the body of Christ, the community of the cross. Scripture tells us that because of our sin, we were enemies of God, that we were without hope. But on the cross, Jesus purchased our redemption. God made peace with us. He reconciled us to himself through the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. And we who were without hope were given the gift of eternal life, real hope. And the cross has changed everything. We're a new people, a people who are at peace with God. And therefore, God has called us to live in peace with one another. So let's take a moment then now to quiet our hearts and our minds before God. Let's prepare ourselves to worship him and listen to him as he speaks to us through the scriptures, through the music, through the ministry of the word, and through our fellowship together as the community of the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are gathered here this evening to worship you, to hear your word, to remember the sacrifice of your Son. At one time, we were far away from you. We were separate from Christ. We had no hope. We were objects of wrath because we were lawbreakers, and we were sinners by nature and by practice. And because you're holy and just, you must punish sin. But because you are loving and merciful, gracious and wise, you sent a Savior, a Messiah, a Deliverer, a perfect Redeemer. And from the beginning, you willed to rescue us through him. The Son of God united himself with humanity. Jesus Christ, fully God, fully human, two natures, one person. Because you are holy and righteous, you require moral perfection in us. Perfect holiness, perfect faith, perfect obedience. And the Lord Jesus Christ perfectly obeyed your law on our behalf. And he willingly gave up his life on the cross, where he was punished for our transgressions. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. And he absorbed your holy wrath against sin for us. And incredibly, Father, you've also given us the very righteousness of Christ. And all of this received by faith, not by works, lest anyone should boast. We've been saved by grace through faith, and this not from ourselves, but as your precious gift. What an amazing God you are, and we thank you. And we confess we do not deserve anything you've done for us, and so we humbly bow down. We humbly bow down now in your presence, and we worship you. Amen. We remember tonight the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for us. Through him, there is forgiveness, there is peace with God, and the hope of eternal life. And as believers in Jesus, we are the community of the cross, the community of the cross of Jesus. Through him, we have peace with God, and we are to be at peace with one another. But it was not always so, was it? We were not always the community of the cross. We were not always forgiven. We did not always have peace with God. We did not always have the hope of eternal life. At one time, we were separate from Christ. We were far away from God. We were objects of divine wrath. And our situation is described by the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 11 through 16. In just a moment, I want to read through there, but I want you to know that as Paul is speaking to the Ephesian believers about who they were before they believed and what Christ did for them, it also speaks to who we were before we believed. and what Christ did for us. Listen to what it says in the Word of God. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, and thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. As I said, this text describes all of us here. We were at one time separate from Christ. We were excluded from citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. We did not understand God's solemn promise of a deliverer, without hope, without God in the world. And I wonder, have you ever laid awake at night just thinking? That can be a dangerous thing to do, isn't it? To lie awake and just think. Think about your life. Think about what's happening maybe in your family. Or then start thinking about what's going on in the world and everything that goes on in it every day. And then just imagine, what if you had no hope? What if you had no hope? What if you had no assurance of life, of eternal life? Perhaps you do remember having had thoughts like that. Maybe you have thoughts like that now sometimes. But worse yet though, what if you were still God's enemy? You know, we talk about the love of God, the mercy of God, and that's true, but Scripture tells us some other things about God, about his righteousness and holiness, and Scripture declares that before we were united with Christ, we were enemies of God. God was our enemy. We were his enemy, and he was at war with us. How would you like for God to be your enemy? Think about that. He knows all things, doesn't he? And he has all power. And he's perfectly just and holy, and he will judge all sin. You might think of it like this, that you and I had great big targets painted on us. And the target was God's just punishment of sin. Because God is holy, he's righteous and just, he will punish sin, and make no mistake about that, he will judge. The fact is, no one is getting away with anything in this world, and although it may appear that way at times in this life, doesn't it look that way sometimes in life, that people are just getting away with things? There's no justice in this world. People do things and they get away with it. But is that really true? Is anyone ultimately going to get away with anything? No, because God is going to have the last word, isn't he? And he will have the last word about every sin ever committed. And he will be the just judge of every human being who has or ever will live. The target of God's wrath. Not a particularly pleasant thought, is it? But Christ has come. And that has changed everything, hasn't it? Because God is merciful and gracious, he sent a Redeemer to absorb the wrath of God for you. If you're a believer, you might think it was Jesus has stepped in front of you and he took the punishment for you. The target that was painted on you was transferred to him and he absorbed it. Scripture also tells us that God requires perfection, perfect obedience to his law. So we are not only forgiven in Christ, but there's something also amazing that Christ has done for us. See, Jesus perfectly fulfilled and obeyed the law of God for you and me, because we can't, can we? He perfectly fulfilled the law of God, and then he willingly offered himself up for us as a sacrifice for our sin. Scripture says he became sin for us and absorbed fully the wrath of God for us. And this is the demonstration of God's love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the godly for the ungodly. You know, that night in Gethsemane, the humanity in Jesus was struggling mightily because he knew full well what lay ahead that next morning. And it's really an incredible moment that I find that to be one of the most amazing moments in all of Scripture. Is here is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who knew from the foundation of the world that he was going to come into this world and to be an offering for the sin of the world, and that through him men and women would be redeemed and have eternal life and rule and reign with him forever and ever. He knew that. He took on flesh. He became human. He was made human in every way that you and I are human, except that he was without sin. His whole life, he knew, was heading to that cross. But yet, there he was, just hours away from it, and he was in agony in prayer in that garden. And he prayed, not once, not twice, but three times he said what? Father, if it is possible for this cup to be taken away from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. What was he saying when he was praying that? That this cup be taken away from me. Well, the cup was a metaphor. It was a metaphor for judgment, the wrath of God. In the Scriptures, it talks about God pouring out his judgment on sin, like pouring out a cup of wrath on sin. And that's what he was talking about. You might think of everything that Jesus knew he was facing the next day. We might focus on the physical pain and agony of that. But that was not what he prayed to be delivered from. And if all possible, he said, what if the cup can be taken? If I don't have to be punished for sin? That was what buckled his humanity. So he was a man. And in his humanity, he felt it. He agonized over it. But he still obeyed, didn't he? He said, yet, not as I will, but as you will. He was obedient. Obedient even to the point of death. But you know, Scripture also tells us that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And he scorned its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God Almighty. You know, there was great joy in his spirit as well. Why? Because he knew that he was saving you. He knew that he was making peace between God and you, so that you and I, all of us, we would not be enemies anymore, but we would be reconciled and at peace with him. So, you know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, God is at peace with you forever. Forever. God is at peace with you. You know, I've been speaking about who we were and what Christ did for us. How we were without hope. We were enemies of God. How Christ has brought us near by his blood. how he has made us to be at peace with God, who we were, what Christ did for us. And now Chuck is going to come and he's going to talk to us about who we are, and what we should do for Christ.
Thanks, Pastor Dan. When I was a little boy, growing up in Chicago, I grew up around Logan Square. Anybody know where that is? Humboldt Park area. And I escaped out of there with my life, which is incredible. But I remember standing in what was called a backyard. If you grew up in Chicago, you understood backyards were just little square places, 10 by 10, wherever it was. And you could stand, and Pastor Dan talked about walls and fences and Christ breaking that down. You could stand and you could look as far as you could see at fences and walls and barriers between neighbors, between friends, my buddies, my pals. They were all up and down the alleyway. And sometimes these people that lived in these houses with these fences and these walls and these yards had big dogs. And a lot of times they didn't have signs, beware of dogs. They were just there for one reason, to keep you out. Little boys like me playing baseball in the alleys of Chicago. Somebody said, how'd you learn to hit a baseball so straight? I said, because you had to hit it straight or it went in a yard. And in those yards there were big dogs. And I'd be like, I don't want to go in there. And so you do whatever you can to keep that ball out of there. And this one neighbor, I thought they were friendly, but they had this big boxer dog that when you're a little boy, the boxer dog seems like a large velociraptor, some dinosaur, some creature. And you'd see that ball fly across over the fence and go in the yard, and your heart would start to pound. Terror would set in because you know you had to go over that wall. You had to break that wall down to get your ball. And it scared you to death, but you're going to do it. And so you'd see that dog sitting at the back door. And you're going, can I get over the fence? Can I get to that ball before the dog gets me? What do you think? Think I won every time? What do you think? Think I won every time? You think you got me? I want some of the kids to answer. What do you think? Think you got me? Yeah, you think so? Well, I think if he would have got me, I may not have been here. He was big and I was a little guy. There was one lady, I did go into there. There's times I raced, got over the fence, and just as I got over, I could feel him right at the back of my leg. It was incredible. But there were fences and walls and barriers. This other little lady, she would race us to the balls. He came one in her yard. And she would get those balls. I mean, I don't know what she had to do all day, but just wait for us to hit the ball in her yard. And she was going to make sure those little boys didn't get those baseballs back because they landed in her flowers. And so she just waited all day to make sure she was going to get those balls. And then she would have her curtains pulled back and she had them lined up in her window all the way down. Just so she could show us, I got those baseballs, you little punks and hoodlums living in the fenced-in yards. They made us play in the alleys. And I remember, I don't know if I ever had dreams, but I remember just going, it would be so cool if I woke up one morning and all those fences and all those walls and all those dogs and all those little old ladies in a good way, not a bad way, all of that would be gone, broken down, so I could just play, so I'd have freedom, so I wasn't afraid anymore. I wasn't scared. Something was going to get me or somebody didn't like me. I just wanted the walls. I wanted them broken down. You think about that, that's exactly what Pastor Dan talked about. People don't understand it. We don't get it. But when you become a Christian and you look back, you know this, John MacArthur says, it's a part of sinful human nature to build barriers. Just a part of who we are. We build barriers that shut people out. We don't want them in our lives, even as Christians. Hard to believe, isn't it? I got my side of the church. They got their side of the church. Stay there. Don't cross the wall, the barrier. My row, my pew, don't touch it. Our family's been sitting there for years. Don't mess. In his book, The Cross of Peace, this author, Sir Philip Gibbs, writes this Listen carefully. The problem of fences has grown to be one of the most acute that the world must face today. Just walls and fences, emotional, physical, and even spiritual. They zigzag and crisscross throughout the races, the ethnic groups, and people of the world. In these days of dividing walls of race and class, we must shake the earth anew with the message of Christ the peacemaker. Got to shake the place. Got to bring the message. Christ the peacemaker, in whom there is neither, listen to this, you know this, it's scripture, there's neither bond nor free nor Jew nor Greek nor Gentile, but all are one in Christ. No middle aisle, no pew that's mine, no church building that my blood is in the mortar, but we are one family in Christ. The community of the cross. One. Made one by the peacemaker. Aren't you glad of that? Isn't that good? Red and yellow, black and white, come on. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Isn't that true? Isn't that good? And so there is a wonder valley, and it's a wonder in the valley, and it's a wonderful valley, and you could go on and on and on and on. MacArthur also says this. I love this. He says, this unity, and this has broke my heart for years. I've been in church ministry since 1983. My dad was a pastor, and there's always walls. God broke it down and saved me with him. No longer is Pastor Dan preached. I am not at enmity with him, and he's not at war with me, and I thank God for that. But MacArthur says disunity, disharmony among God's people, own people, has always broke the heart of God. You agree or disagree? Come on, we pick at each other. Pick, and we pick again. It's just no good. You know, the Jews thought they had the ordinances and they had the laws and they were God's best. And the Greeks and the Gentiles hated them. Cicero said, we've got the language, the Greek, you know, Greek is the language of the gods. And the Romans despised the Jews. And the war has gone on for, well, forever. And then Christ came. But Christ, as Dan said. But Christ. And he comes to the cross and he keeps the law. And he goes and he's the Lamb of God. He's the Lion of Judah. He breaks it all down. And he makes black people and white people one. And Hispanic people and black and white people one. And Greeks and Gentiles and Jews one. And there are no ethnic barriers. Male and female, one, one in Christ. And we say, yay, God, to that. That's why we're here tonight, to celebrate all that Christ has done, all he's done. He's made us one. But then, Pastor Dan talked about who we were, what God had done, but what about who we are? What are we supposed to do with this? Let's face it, we have differences. We do, all of us, not just Wonder Valley, Valley Wonder, but as people, we have differences. There was a song years ago, an old rock song that went, there is a long hair that doesn't like the short hair for being such a rich one who can't accept the poor one. So if you're in Christ and you're at peace with Christ, then you're a peacemaker made by the peacemaker, one in Christ, and we're one. And so what are we to do with this? Well, we're to make peace with each other. I'm to make peace with you, and you're to make peace with me. We are to live in peace. So I took the word peace real quickly. I took it. You know the acrostic thing where each letter represents another word? Well, here we go. I think, first of all, you say it after me. We'll say P is to protect. It's good. Say P is to protect. So real simply, you know, here we are as the family of God, one in Christ, walls broken down. Your job and my job is to protect one another. Protect each other. Protect what? Listen, our reputations, our integrity. No gossip. No talking junk. No rumors, no lies. But we believe the best and we speak the best. We protect each other. If you've ever gone through the Smoky Mountains, anybody gone through Tennessee, North Carolina, the Great Smoky Mountains? It's incredible. Years ago, you could see the little bears by the side of the road. Remember that? People get out, take pictures, and go, how close can I get before I get eaten? And I remember one, I was with my dad when we were driving through, you know, kids, and all of a sudden we saw these little baby, tiny cubs hanging out by one of the garbage cans. So everybody was out there taking pictures, trying to get real close, going, oh, look at the baby cubs. And then all of a sudden Mama showed up. And Mama came flying out of the woods. I mean, it was incredible. You never saw people scatter so fast in your life. Because Mama Bear was there to do one thing, protect her babies. You and I, out of great love for the one who has made peace for us, are to be at peace with one another. Now you're going, well, Chuck, we are. But I mean, express that. Protect each other. Speak well of each other. It's a good thing to do. E is for endure. Say endure. Another word is patience. Be patient with each other. You know what? Walk a mile in somebody's shoes and see what they live like. We've all got our quirks. Am I right or wrong? Some of you right now may say, you know what? You just move around too much. You're making us sick. Well, that's who I am. Pastor Dan stays a little more. I move a little more. But guess what? We're one in Christ. We've got our quirks. I got a bald spot. Maybe you don't. My head shines a little more. Maybe yours doesn't. Maybe some twitch, some don't twitch. Some like this, some like that. But we're to go the distance with each other, not give up on each other, stay the course with each other. I like it. We are to do this. Cover each other's backs. When one of us gets tired, you say, you know what? I'm not tired of you. I love you. And I'll be patient with you. I'll endure with you. I want to hear one of the biggest amens I've ever heard in my life. Are you not glad that Christ endured with you? Yeah, thank you for that. That's good. Hey, Jesus, did you hear that? Maybe they can do better. Ready? Here we go.
Amen.
Oh, just this side.
Amen.
This side's better.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good. See? I'll endure with all of you. One more time.
Amen.
You guys got that? We're all different, but to endure. Husbands, you got to endure with your wives. Wives, you know, we're a mess. Wives, you know, we're a mess. We need patience and endurance. I am so glad Jesus Christ was patient with me and endured with me and rescued me and made peace for me. Amen? Yeah. Quickly, we got to do this. A is for affections. Say affections.
Affections.
Yes, you got it so far. Protect and endure and affections. We're to be affectionate towards one another. We're to, well, one author said this. Christian love, when it's working the way it should work, is breathtaking. People on the outside go, I don't understand it. Those people are so different in that church. They're like all different colors and they have different, you know, likes and dislikes, but they really seem to love each other. They endure with each other. They are constantly protecting the reputation, and the world gets attracted to that. And even though they may not be Christians, you know what they say? I want to be a part of a community where I am embraced affectionately and loved. I want to be there. Affection is a good word. Jesus said to his disciples, right, John 13, by this, if you know it, say it with me, by this all men will know that you're my disciples. If what? I love this. Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of my favorite preachers, old dead guy, I call him, alive guy, dead guy, said this, this is really good, listen, when God makes peace, he does something inward and vital in our lives. And I thought this is good. Papa God is not content merely that men should not be at one another's throats. We're like, well, I put up with them, I tolerate them, they should be thankful I don't choke them on Sunday. Come on now, I don't want anybody going, I don't know why he's saying that. Because we've all thought that. Being honest, I guess I could be the only one. But come on. Jones says this, listen. God's idea of peace is that men should embrace one another. Jesus said, no greater love is this, what, than a man? Yeah, absolutely. So you've got affections. Now how about this one? Celebrate. I thought about singing that old disco song. I thought I'd get in trouble with that, so I'll let it go. If But I did. I wrote this down because as I was praying over giving you, say celebrate.
Celebrate.
Say it like you want to do it.
Celebrate.
Okay. Listen, celebrate. I wrote this down. When you celebrate Christ with other Christians, you can't be critical of them. You agree or disagree? Unless you can really compartmentalize. Which a lot of us do. I'm celebrating with Pastor Dan, but he really bugs me. No, he doesn't. I'm celebrating with the people on this side of the aisle, but they sing too loud. I'm celebrating over here, but this guy's way off key. You think I was pointing here? No, I was pointing... No. Come on, am I right or wrong? When you're celebrating... Now listen, watch. When your focus is on Christ and you're celebrating Christ the peacemaker, how can you not help, when you're really doing it, sincerely, how can you not help but be at peace with those around you? You cannot be critical unless you are really messed up. So... I think this whole, how do we keep the peace? We do what we're doing tonight. We celebrate together. Who? Wonder Lake Bible Church? No. Valley Community Church? No. Who do we celebrate?
Christ.
Who?
Christ.
Come on, who?
Christ.
You're going, why does he make us do this? You don't have to do it. Joe said you can stand up, sit. You don't have to do it, but I'm here to celebrate Christ and be at peace with you. The last one is this. The E is encourage. Who in this room does not like to be encouraged? Who doesn't like to be encouraged? Who really loves it when somebody comes up and says, wow, you've gained weight? Well, I haven't seen you 6 months. You look older. I love it. I'm telling you, I love it when my friends I haven't seen for a while say, wow, you're really going bald. You don't think I know that? Do I need that? Do I need that? Do I need that? No, I need this. When a friend of mine is working incredibly hard to lose weight, and you know who I'm talking about, a good friend of mine, a brother in Christ who loves me and cares, he doesn't need me going, well, had a too many pizzas lately, huh, buddy? You know what he needs to hear from me? We've got this little secret thing going. We were jogging in the gym. I'll leave it at that. Gym the other day. What he needs to hear from me is this. Dan, you know what? I saw your watch just about fall off your wrist. That's awesome, buddy. You're doing incredible. Just want to encourage you instead of going, well, you know, I saw your watch come off your wrist, but, you know, you could still work on it a little bit more. Don't you hate when people do that to you? We need words. Listen, watch. James says this. Your tongue can do what? What can your tongue do? It can kill. It can set forest fires. It can sink a ship, man. It's horrible. My tongue can be horrible. So can yours. One word can give life, and one word can take life. Somewhere tonight, somebody with somebody's words, parents to their children, another believer to another believer, will be so discouraged they're going to want to quit and give up. Peace. You know how you make peace? I encourage you and I work at doing that. I do it because I love you. I do it because the peacemaker has made me who I am, a peacemaker. I was reading a story this past week. It was about three African tribes. And there was a missionary who was officiating. We're not going to do the Lord's table tonight, communion, but we're going to break some bread together. We did communion Sunday, which was awesome with the chosen people. God, wasn't that great? That was good. But this missionary said he was officiating communion, and there were three tribes, the Ngongi, Tumbuka, and the Senga tribes. Three tribes that over the years hated each other. They would come back to their villages and say, we butchered and we raped and we pillaged so many of the other tribe. And this missionary who was now serving communion looked out over the audience and saw the chief of the Ngongi over here. He saw the Tumbukas over here and the Singas over here. And he saw them singing together. He saw them weeping together, encouraging one another, at peace with one another, because the peacemaker had come to their hearts and their lives and transformed them. There was a metamorphosis. And instead of ravaging and killing and spilling one another's blood, now they were celebrating the blood of Christ that had been shed for them and forgiven them. Is that not an incredible story? And so you go, well, what does it have to do with Wonder Valley? I mean, we haven't been throwing spears at each other. I know. But can we not do it within the body of Christ? Can we not hurt each other? And Christ has called us to be at peace. What are we supposed to do? Christ did it, right? Protect. Can you say it? Protect. Who do we protect? Look at somebody and say, I'm supposed to protect you. Yeah. What about this? Endure. I'm supposed to endure with you. Look at somebody and say it. I'm supposed to endure with you. What about this? Affections. I'm supposed to be affectionate towards you. Say it to somebody. I'm supposed to be affectionate towards you. What about this? See, I'm supposed to celebrate with you. Say it. I'm supposed to celebrate with you. And E, I'm supposed to encourage you. Say it. I'm supposed to encourage you. And now look at your eyes. If we do that, listen, if we do that on a regular basis, the walls stay down. The fences don't go up. You can play in each other's yards. You don't worry about the flowers or the dogs because you're working at doing what Christ has told you to do. Amen? So we're going to do something tonight that maybe you haven't done. We're going to break some bread together. And it's how many of you have ever done a bread-breaking celebration? Okay, some in our church, we've done it at Valley. But we're the body of Christ, so we're going to do it. Here's what it would be, something like this. There's bread up here, and there's bread in the back. There's two baskets on each table. You take a piece of bread, you could take two pieces. If you have a germ issue, which is okay. You take two pieces and you go to somebody, and I'm going to go over here. This is what you do. We're going to have some music played while this is taking place and some pictures being shown. But you take two pieces of bread or one, and you go to somebody. And I want you to go to more than one person. And I want you to go to somebody perhaps you don't know that well, because we are family. You go to them, and you break bread with them. You give them a piece. And you give them a word of encouragement. A word of life. Now listen to me. Your pastor, my friend Dan, in the last few years has been one of the most encouraging, and you have, intimate friends in my life. There have been times I'm just tired, I'm done. I'm just done. And his friendship, his words, his protection, his enduring with my quirks, his affection for me, our celebration, having fun together, has encouraged my heart to say, press on, serve the King. And Dan, I mean that. I love talking to you. I love discussing. We went up to Lake Geneva for 2-3 days, and we batted around every aspect of eschatology and soteriology and pneumatology and Christology and ologyology and you could talk about, and we walked away saying we love each other. We're brothers in Christ. I need this man's friendship. And he needs me. He doesn't know it that well, but he does. So do you understand what I want you to do? I want you to get up out of your seat while the music is playing, go to the back table, go to the front table. Either get two pieces of bread or get one, and you can go and you can, here, Alyssa, come over here. Come over here. You can break it with somebody. Break that with me, will you? Watch. Take half. And just say to somebody like this. Tell me, say, Pastor Chuck, you're a great pastor.
Pastor Chuck, you're a great pastor.
Oh. And Alyssa, you're a great listener on Sunday mornings. Thanks for listening. Let's eat bread together. I love you. Can you do that with as many people as you can? It's a good exercise. It's an expression to the one who's made peace. We are family, the family of peace who wants to encourage one another. So while slides are up there, music's playing, get up out of your seat, two baskets there, two baskets here. Go break bread with as many people as you can and give them a word of life, a word of encouragement that says, we're family. Let me pray for you. Father, help us to do that right now. Jesus, for your sake, the one who broke down the wall between us and your Father. You did the work, and we celebrate you this night. And now we want to celebrate you by loving one another and breaking bread with each other and giving each other a simple word of life. God, I ask you this. Don't let it be just a religious moment. Help it to be a time where lives touch lives and words give life. Words of hope, words of care, words of love, words of protection, words of celebration. Let us have a holy, holy time here together. Jesus, for your sake, great peacemaker, because we are the community of the cross. Amen. So go ahead. I've already done one. Get up and do as many as you can. You got just a few minutes and we're going to stop this. Unless God breaks in, we'll go all night.
Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." And a jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews. And with Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. And he was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. And Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. And taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen. And this was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. And at the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
Would you stand with me for prayer and the benediction? And then would you say this with me? Just repeat after me. This has been our theme. If you've missed it, it's our fault, not yours. We are the community of the cross.
We are the community of the cross.
Just a little bit louder. Here we go. We are the community of the cross.
We are the community of the cross.
Now, in shout form, on the count of three. One, two, three. We are the community of the cross. Father, thank you for this time. We are the community of the cross because you've made peace. Not us, you. Your work, not ours. And we celebrate you from this night forth and from that day you caused us to be born again, Holy Spirit. We're yours. And until that day you come to get us. Come soon. Come get us. Even before we eat all the chocolate and the ham Easter Sunday. Come and get us. Now, I've asked Pastor Dan to help me with a benediction. He said, "No, you just do it." I said, "No, it would defeat what we're trying to do tonight." So here we go. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord be gracious to you and make his face shine upon you.
May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you
and give you peace.
Amen?
Amen.
Hug somebody before you go. And we're going to keep playing and have a great day. We'll see you Sunday.
I will fall.
Tambourine lady, nice. Sounds good.